Hi, I'm Stephen Puddicombe. This is another episode in CFMWS's podcast series about grief and bereavement. Monica Bobbitt was a military spouse for almost 21 years. That changed in May 2014 at CFB Wainwright. Her husband Dan was tragically killed in a lav rollover during an exercise. Monica now devotes a great deal of her time to educating military families, members, and the public about grief. Hi, Monica. Now, Dan's death was a tragic reminder that soldiering is an inherently dangerous profession, not just on operations, but everyday life.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, before Dan died, in those years before that, we were so focused on the mission in Afghanistan, and that garnered so much publicity. But I don't think most Canadians, even many members of the military community themselves, realize just how many accidents, deaths, and injuries are caused during training accidents throughout the course of a year, right? So,
was there anything in your journey with grief that you missed out on to help you through that period?
I think it would have been when they come and notify you of a death, they don't, you know, you have a padre, you have your notification party, and they kind of, you know, they talk to you basically about, you know, give you the rundown about what's going to happen in the next few days, weeks, etc. But they actually don't give you any information on what grief actually looks like. And to me, I think that's, you know, such, an omission, because not everybody has gone through a significant trauma by that point in their lives or had a significant death. So, you know, even though I had studied grief in university, I had no idea what grief reactions to expect. I had no idea that I was going to be in shock for the first few weeks. And I remember walking around my house thinking, like, you know, there's something wrong with me. Like, I can't focus. I can't sleep properly. And my memory, I couldn't remember the simplest of things. And you know, even the day they told me that Dan died, I just couldn't cry at first. And I kept thinking, well, what's wrong with me? They've just told me my husband's died. Why am I not crying? Well, it was because I was in shock. But I didn't have any information there to say, oh, okay, yeah, this is what you might expect to happen. Now, not everybody's going to experience the same grief reactions, but if we had, you know, a basic information pamphlet that says, you know, this is potentially the type of grief reactions you can expect, then, you know, then it's reassuring, right? It's nice to have that, okay, this isn't unique to me. I'm not losing my mind. There's not something wrong with me or the way I'm grieving. And I think it's important that we, you know, that we let people know how all-encompassing grief can be. And, you know, I think we should provide those basics of grief for bereaved families. And the other thing I think that I wished I'd had and I didn't, is, you know, a list of grief-specific resources for my community. You know, who are the therapists and psychologists who are specialized in grief counseling? What support groups are there for bereaved children or for bereaved widows or parents? You know, is there art therapy? Is there music therapy? Are there, you know, children-specific grief retreats? And I didn't have that information, and honestly, I didn't have the cognitive capacity in those first few months to go search it out for myself. So I kind of wish I'd had that early on.
Monica, what other changes would you like to see today happen? Because your husband died in 2014, and we have seen a structural change in people dealing with grief, but there's still a lot of work to be done, I've been told. What would you like to see if the CDS or the Minister of Defense came to you and said, Monica Bobbitt, you tell us what to do? What would you tell them?
Well, you know, I try to get my message across every time I do a speaking event. You know, first and foremost, I'd like to see an actual grief education package for our military members. Because you know what? The military spends a lot of time training members to go to war, but they don't spend any time teaching them about the grief war inevitably brings with it. you know, one recent study found that combat exposure is almost as likely to cause grief as it is to lead to post-traumatic stress disorder or depression, but we never talk about the grieving part of it. Even though military members and their families are at a higher risk of developing complicated grief. So I think it's important that we educate our military members. And I also think it's important to see grief education provided for family members ahead of time so that they are better prepared. Because, you know, we kind of do this after the fact, right? But if we want to have more resilient soldiers and families, then, you know, let's act preemptively. Let's educate them before anything happens. And, you know, so that they're aware, because most people aren't aware of the enormous impact grief has on all areas of our lives, right? It's not just our physical and mental health. It's our relationships, our careers, our social connections, and our resiliency. So let's educate more, right? There's power in knowledge.
You just mentioned something, complicated grief. What does that mean?
Complicated grief is, grief is a natural response to loss, right? But complicated grief occurs when your functioning is significantly impaired. And I'm not talking about the first, you know, the initial 6 months or 12 months. I'm talking about down the road, you know. And it's you don't like to put timelines on grief because everybody goes through the grieving process at their own pace, right? But eventually we all should reach a spot where we can, you know, accept our loss and move forward with our lives and get back to you know, living fully again. But for some people that's complicated and they're not able to fully process their grief. And it's the symptoms of complicated grief are very similar to PTSD, right? So it's, you know, not, you know, repeated thoughts of the trauma. You know, people who have complicated grief, some of them, you know, contemplate suicide. It's, you know, I don't want to use the word stuck, but it's almost like they are stuck. They can't get past their loss. They're constantly thinking about the person they've lost. And it just really impairs their, you know, ability to move forward with their life, and their sadness becomes more like clinical depression. So it's a real, you know, it's a real issue in traumatic deaths, which of course military deaths are traumatic deaths for the most part.
Monica, why is this subject so difficult to deal with?
You know what? Death and grief, and it's not just in the military community, it's in our society in general, they're still just such taboo topics, right? So many of us were raised, I know I was, raised in a household where we just didn't talk about death, right? And when you don't talk about it, implies that you shouldn't talk about it. And then we carry this misbelief with us into adulthood, right? And as a society, we've never been properly taught to openly discuss and process the complexity of emotions that death, dying, and grief brings with them, right? We've been encouraged to deal with our trauma by embracing that, you know, the stiff upper lip and carrying on. Grief is messy and complicated, and we're taught that it's not something we should talk about in public, which just continually perpetuates this myth that, you know, grief has five neat little stages and it's something that we have to get over. And I think the other aspect of it is it's unsettling to think and talk about our own mortality. You know, the finality and uncertainty that surrounds death is very frightening for most of us. None of us wants to think about dying or having our loved ones die. The other aspect is that it also reminds us of all the things we haven't accomplished in our life, which can cause anxiety and depression, right? And so when we discuss our immortality, that kind of forces us to do a life review, and maybe sometimes we're not completely happy with what we've done with our life. And, you know, in the military context, it's, you know, it's often a morale thing, right? If we acknowledge the real possibility that all of our military members might not come home, that's kind of bad for morale, right? We don't want to put any more worries on spouses and families. And I think it's, you know, it's that superstition. If we talk about it, it's more likely to happen. Which is, of course, utter rubbish, but best not to tempt fate, right? So I think all of those things impact, you know, play a part in the fact that we're just not comfortable about talking about death and grief. We need to be more open in our conversations about grief so that we, you know, that we do make it easier on ourselves when we're grieving, but it also, if we talk about it more, then it'll help us better enable us to support others who are going through the grieving process. And it'll help dispel a lot of those myths of grief that we still have to this day.
Monica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
Monica Bobbitt is a military widow. She now devotes a great deal of her time dealing with grief and bereavement in the military. Thank you for listening to another of CFMWS's podcasts on grief and bereavement. If you have any comments or questions or ideas for future episodes, please send them to us via the email provided on this webpage. Thank you for listening.